Please be seated. Well, it is a distinct pleasure to be back among you. I'm not going to give a report on General Convention in Austin, Texas, except it was hot. But it was just a blessing to be there, to be in the big tent with people from all over our communion and all over the full spectrum of our faith and our liturgical worship, and a blessing to see our leaders from the national level, you know, face to face, and just be inspired by their spirituality and dedication. So we hear in the news, or at least if you are silly enough to pay a lot of attention to it, you hear about transparency, and you're never supposed to let people see you sweat, but I just have to confess, my laptop was making me feel very unchristian, so I'm working off of handwritten notes, and I apologize for whatever that does for my delivery. Well, I listened to Father Andy's sermon from a couple weeks ago, and he talked about that sort of what can be a profound or a trite expression of God never gives you more than you can handle. And I thought he did a great job of dealing with nuances and the possibilities that people can ascribe to those words. And you may think of those a time or two as I share today. Because what I'm presenting to you, I was thinking about this morning, maybe not so much a sermon as sort of a theological reflection on the scripture lesson, on the gospel lesson, just on the Mark lesson, a Bible study. But I was so struck as I prepared that I felt it was appropriate, and I was called to share these things with you. So, do you have enough chaos in your life? Do you have enough stress, enough hyperbole, enough bad news? I suspect you do. I know I do. And I've even seen the suggestion that we'd all be better off if we just didn't read the news. There's a certain amount of truth to that. But we need, I think, some context for today's lesson, because if you just read through it, it's sort of an interesting little story. You get some little snapshots of some action going on, but I'm not sure where it takes us just to read through it. So I may skip around a bit compared to what the lectionary chose. Recently we read in Mark, a few Sundays ago, Mark 4, how a storm at sea panicked the disciples while Jesus napped. And they woke him, and they kind of got after him about, what are you doing? You know, we're dying here and you're asleep. And he stilled the storm by saying, and then he said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? He stilled the storm by rebuking it, by rebuking the wind, and said to the sea, peace, be still. Perhaps that was equally aimed at the disciples, although it looked like he was talking to the storm. In today's reading from chapter 6, Jesus sends his disciples into ministry, and he ministers to their human needs with patience and grace. He seeks to bring them peace and comfort, relieving their stress and their fatigue. So as modern disciples, you and I, yes, we are the disciples now. And in fact, we are apostles. We are apostles. We're not the apostles. What do we take away to better inform our ministry and more effectively steward the resources we have physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Well, first, let's establish a little more context, as I mentioned, for the events that are reported in what you just heard read. Early in chapter 6, Jesus called the 12, went around, picked them out, gathered them up, made a group. And in today's lesson, he has sent them into ministry among the people in the region. So if I just hop back to verse 7 of chapter 6, He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So that has happened. They went out. They did what they did. And then a few verses later we read, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. So we have Jesus authorizing this ministry, this mission into the countryside, and they went out and did the things that we think of Jesus doing over and over and over again throughout the Gospels. They had positive results. Now, stuck in between, and this is all I'm going to say about it, is this whole story about the beheading of John. Not quite sure what that's about, but it's kind of like a modern movie where the scenes jump around, but there's some dramatic impact. But we're not going to deal with those, and those weren't a part of our lesson today. But listen carefully to the first verse of the appointed scriptures for today. Let me repeat that. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught, what they did and what they taught. Apostles, really? I mean, they're more like apprentices or newbies or, you know, just like they're practicing. They've only been together for a very short time. And later we identify them as the apostles. So why would Jesus be calling them, or the writer of Mark be calling them, apostles at this point in time? Well, apostles sounds like a noun, but it comes from the verb apostello, which means to send out with a message. That's why I went back to verse 7. Jesus sent them out with a message to give to the people. He sent them out with the good news of the kingdom in word and deed, in teaching and in healing, to proclaim that good news, to tell what God is doing in the world. So they did that then, and what really struck me was we are called to do that now. All of us, not just people with collars, all of us. But we aren't called to do it in the context and the conditions and the exact situation that they did it in and what they did, because that's not the world we live in. It will look different when we do it, but nonetheless, we need to be doing that. Marilyn Engstrom at the cathedral, when she was dean there, I don't even remember what the text was, but one time she preached on a certain text, and she had gotten some of that yellow tape like firemen and policemen use or construction workers used, and she had taped off the font, and it said, "Danger, hazardous area." And her point was, being baptized, being confirmed, choosing to follow Christ is dangerous. It will upset things. It will be different. So apostolic ministry, as we go on in verse 31 and 32, he said to them, so they gathered around and told him all that they had done. And then he said to them, come away to a deserted place by yourselves and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Danger, hazardous area. Ministry takes something out of us. It requires energy and focus. It's transactional. It's something that's dynamic between people, between human beings and God. It's interpersonal. We can do great things by writing a check. We can really help. That's not the ministry Jesus is talking about. He's talking about interacting with another human being relationally. It makes you vulnerable. It's risky. It's uncertain. It may not work out. It may be like those telemarketers that we hate to get calls from, but a good telemarketer, a successful telemarketer, will just, when you hang up on them, they just start dialing the next number, because they will get to the number where someone responds. It's uncertain and it's draining. And here's the part we don't like to hear. It's ongoing. It's not like me driving from my house to St. Peter's and, you know, after X number of miles and time, I get here. Done. Job finished. Ministry is not that way. Have you heard the term dog tired? I come from people who were pretty poor. On one side of my family, they were hillbillies, quite frankly. And I have a dog. But what a dog will do, when you take a dog out to run or play, not city dogs, but just out in the open, dogs will go until they can't go anymore. They go with spirit and energy, and they're absorbed in what they're doing. And they will go and go and go. When you stop and they stop, they actually rest. They're dog tired. We don't usually do that. We like want to hold back a little bit. We don't get to that point. But you've heard of compassion fatigue and caregiver fatigue. And there is, yes, such a thing as missional burnout. So that's what we're hearing about in this story. In the story that's part of our lesson. Stress is real and it's unhealthy when it's intense and prolonged. We know that. And as I was preparing, I didn't realize this, but that was only about in the 1930s that the word stress entered our vocabulary. It's less than 100 years old. But it's such a part of our lives that we figured maybe it's been here all along. Stress has been here, but not the word. So the 12 disciples rested for one verse, one short verse, just a few words. And then the cycle started again. And what we see just in these short readings today from the gospel lesson is this cycle. Ministry, fatigue, withdraw, rest, recuperate, recharge, repeat. Ministry, fatigue, rest, repeat. And this is what Jesus presents to them as the paradigm they're to work in. Not to get dog tired, not to go until you drop, not to just keep struggling until you say, I quit, I've had enough of this. But a balance between what we're doing for the kingdom, what we're doing for our neighbors, and still caring for self. Love your God, love your neighbor. Love yourself enough to take care of yourself as God's vessel. So what Jesus does for the disciples in his humanity and their humanity, he gives them that break. But then it starts again. And when they went back to shore on verse 34, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So what does Jesus do? Well, here's the good news for us today. With a balance of ministry and rest, the kingdom truly can come near those in need of healing and relief from the demons that possess them. And that's true for us. Metaphorically, there are demons out there. People are possessed by consumerism, by certain behavior patterns, by keeping up with the Joneses. You know the list. Those are demons. They can be released. There can be preaching, teaching, and healing in the context of here and now and of the lives of the people that we meet. So Jesus models for the 12 and for us the compassion, not judgment, love, not hate. They were like sheep without a shepherd. If you chase that shepherd theme out of today's readings instead of the one that seemed to be what I was being called to talk to you about, I read somewhere a person wrote and said, well, none of us want a shepherd that's going to tell us what we ought to do and take us where we need to be, but we all need a shepherd. After an interlude in the gospel of feeding the 5,000, which was a type of healing for the needs of those people, the cycle repeats and Jesus puts the disciples in the boat again, and Jesus goes to a mountain to pray. And then another cycle begins at the end in verses 53 through 56. So here's the takeaway. Jesus models both the ministry and the balance, the ministry and the balance that can be helpful and healthy. I've heard it expressed another way from a non-Christian source, and I tweaked it to fit our paradigm, our context. We need to minister. We need to answer that call. But we also need to find a place of rest in the middle of things. Too often, we assume that resting must wait until all is said and done, until everything's complete. Or we may embrace the illusion that rest comes when we've fixed what is broken. Well, fixing is usually a dead end. If we embrace either of those, we end in collapse. But we can discover rest in the middle of chaos. When we bring our full attention through the power of the Holy Spirit to what's right in front of us, to this moment, wherever that is, in the line at Walmart, getting a haircut, pumping gas in your car, or sitting here in worship, talking with your closest spiritual friends, in that present moment, when we bring all of our attention through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to what is directly in front of me, we will find the place of rest which is always available in the arms of that shepherd. And we need only turn toward it. Jesus doesn't walk away from us. We just sort of turn and don't look at him. Then and only then will we be refreshed and empowered to do the work he has given us to do at St. Peter's, at St. Matthew's, and in all the places in between. I want to close with this prayer. Let us pray. O God of peace, who has taught us that in returning in rest we shall be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be our strength. By the might of your Spirit, lift us, we pray, to your presence, where we may be still and know that you are God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.